UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
7-1 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And if it was anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago.
7-1 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello everyone and welcome to the podcast, wherever in the world you are joining us from. I hope you're all doing okay. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Our guest this episode is Chris, calling from Wales about an experience he had in 1975 when he recalls being visited by a grey in his bedroom. Chris is up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal, and if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
And Chris is calling from West Wales in the United Kingdom.
Yes, in absolute rainy Aberystwyth at the minute.
That's a lovely part of now, as I was there many years ago. Now, Chris, you have some experiences to share with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Yeah, all started when I was about 5 years old in 1975 in Birmingham. I was in bed. Me and brothers used to share bunk beds. He had top bunk, I had bottom bunk. I woke up one night in a sitting position with my covers pulled down, and I noticed something standing next to my bed. I screamed, and as I screamed, this, I'm going to say being, because I couldn't make out what it was at the time. All I could see was like the silhouette and the light from the hallway sort of shone up the one side, so I couldn't make out what it was, but I screamed anyway, and it sort of dropped to the floor and then went under the bed. I leaned over the edge of the bed and watched this being disappear into the skirting board. But back then, I didn't know it as a skirting board, I just knew it as wood. Mom and Dad come running into the bedroom, switch the light on. I'm hysterical, screaming that something had just disappeared into the wood. My dad said, I just had a bad dream. But I was hysterical, so my mom's trying to calm me down and tell me that everything's fine. And I said, it's gone under the bed. So my dad pulls out the bunk bed and starts knocking on the wall to show me that the wall was solid. My mom stayed with me for a while, settled me down. But woke up next morning, and I can't remember if we spoke about it or anything, because I was quite young, so a lot of my childhood I can't remember. It's like it's been blacked out. I don't know if it's to do with the experience or whatever, but I did see something that really scared me, that my mom and dad believed that something, I saw something. A couple of years after I'd moved out, I'd gone to boarding school, and my dad and my brother used to sit up at night and talk. And they'd talk about this experience that my dad said, I saw something. He doesn't know what it was, but I did. He believes that I did see something. So my dad and my brother would talk about it. When Dave Hodron got in touch with me to do my story, I got in touch with my brother and asked him if he remembered what happened. And he remembers, but he didn't want to talk about it, which was annoying, really, because I need people to back me up on the story, because it's only my word what happened. So there is sometimes that I wake up in the morning, it feels like I haven't slept, I ache all over, it feels like I've been in a boxing ring and I'm all stiff and everything. There's just certain things that keeps thinking that I'm being monitored, I'm being watched. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it's just something's happening and I don't know what it is. I've spoke to people because I want to go under deep hypnosis so I can find out what happened, because I believe that I was either about to be taken or I was just being put back after being taken, hence why the covers was pulled down and I was in a sitting position, and that's when I woke up. It's bugged me for 40 years. I haven't spoke about it until last year. A lot of my family, some of them believe, some of them don't. I've even had family come to me and said that they've had things happen to them. It's just not knowing what happened that's really got me. And I've had people tell me that you could go under deep hypnosis and then you find out what's happened to you and it could make me worse. But not knowing is the bit that's really got me, that I need to find out what's going on. I've had people say, yes, they will put me under deep hypnosis, but there's no guarantees that I will find the answers. I just need to know where all the areas in my life that's been like blacked out. A lot of my childhood, I say, I can't remember. I remember tiny bits. I mean, I've had people that can go back to like when they're 5, 6 years old and they can remember everything they can do. I don't remember any of that. It's been going on for a long, long time. I've got a good memory. I've got no problems with my memory. It's just my childhood. I can't figure out what's gone on in my childhood. I say that I believe that this is still happening today. It's not knowing that gets me. As I said to a friend, they can take me as many times as they want. I'm not bothered about that. It's just I'd like to know what they're doing. I've got no arguments with other life in the universe. You know, there's billions of life out there. But if they're here and they're taking us and they're experimenting on us, then I'd like to know what they're doing. I don't know if, to be honest, if it can sort it out. I could go for hypnosis and nothing happens and then I'd just be where I am now. Or I could get hypnotized and I could find out everything that's been going on. At least that would give me some form of closure to know what's going on.
And then when you know stuff like that, then you might be able to deal with that in your own way.
Yeah, I can't deal with the incident until I know what's been going on with me. It's affected me through my life.
I mean, today, just try and relay what you do remember, and then you can use that as a guide. And then if you do decide you want to look into it deeper, then you might have to fill in those bases in between.
Well, I know it was around about October, November time, because it got dark early. I remember that. Because I remember like when we used to go to bed in the summer, it was still light. We used to go to bed, I reckon, about 7 o'clock at night. So this probably happened a couple of hours after, because it was quite dark. Where my bedroom is, it was next door to my mum and dad's bedroom. And then opposite my mum and dad's bedroom was the living room. So my mum and dad was in the living room at the time. So this being disappearing into the wall when my mum and dad was in my room, that being would have ended up in my mum and dad's room, and then I'd had a chance to escape. When my mum and dad come running into the bedroom, and as soon as I said, it dropped and rolled under the bed and went into the wall, my mum and dad just looked at each other. I remember the shock on my mum's face when I said it. And then my dad turned around saying, oh, you've just had a bad dream. With me being hysterical, screaming and shouting, saying, no, it's not a dream, it's not a dream. It went under the bed. It went into the wood. And then that's when my dad pulled out of the bed and started knocking on the wall, waking up my brother, and he's like rubbing his eyes, wondering what's going on. My brother was 4 years old. He's a year younger than me. So after he knocked on the wall, he put the bed back, and then my mom sat on the bed, and I'm lying in her arms until I drifted back off to sleep. And that's all I remember of that case, because I don't know the next day if we spoke about it, if my mom asked if I was all right, I can't remember any of that. My brother, when I've spoken to him recently, he said that he believed that I saw something, because that the way I acted that night, I was petrified. So I would have preferred him to say to Dave Odren, yes, I was in the bedroom at the time and Chris woke up screaming, mom and dad come running into the room. I don't know why he refused to give any details. Dave said sometimes people just don't want to talk about it and they don't want to get involved and that, which I understand. I haven't got no arguments with that. It's just that I wouldn't like to have somebody back me up and say, yeah, Chris saw this, Chris had this experience and that.
Yeah, it's normal for people to clam up, it doesn't mean it didn't happen. It just means they just kind of just don't want to be involved for whatever reason.
Well, I was shocked because I hadn't spoken to my brother about this in 40 years. So when I spoke to Dave Odren and then he says, can you get anybody that might be able to like back up your story? And I said, oh yeah, there's my brother. Sadly, my father passed away a couple of years ago. So, I can't talk to my dad about it. And I don't have any contact with my mother anymore. So I can't get her to back me up. But it's just having my brother, it would have been nice. But what got me is when he turned around and said, oh yeah, me and dad used to talk about it years ago. That shocked me because I didn't know any of that. I didn't know that they was talking about it. I don't know why my dad never came to me and asked. He used to, because my dad, he never used to sleep much. So he would sit up at night time watching TV or watching a film or something. And then me and my brother would go in, say at 4 o'clock in the morning, because we'd wake up or something. And we'd sit, have a chat, have a coffee, cigarette, and then we'd go off to bed and leave my dad to it. So my dad had a chance to talk to me all those years, but never mentioned it, never said, oh, what about that night? No. So that was disappointing. But to find out that my dad and my brother used to talk about it when I was at boarding school really, really surprised me, because I didn't think that they would have carried on with the conversation, like carried on with the, over the years, but they did. So to me, in a way, that gives me some like vindication, because they knew something had happened and they was talking about it like years later.
Exactly. So they definitely believe something happened to you.
Oh, my dad, yeah, he 100% believed that I saw something, because the way that I was hysterical and everything. My dad's always believed in the paranormal when it comes to like UFOs and things like that. He's seen a lot of lights in the sky. We've spoke about it many times. He used to tell me, like, when he was a kid, he used to see things in the sky and that. So, I miss him. We used to have really good conversations.
Of course. Okay, Kiss, take us back to your experience when you were in boarding school.
Well, I was a little sod at school, refused to get taught. So in the end, the only way that I could get my lessons was go to boarding school. So I went to a school in Wolverhampton called Whittick Hall, which is a fantastic school. It's now a business school, but big old Victorian building full of ghosts and then stories. And I loved it there. It was a good place to grow up, good place for a child to grow up. And I'd only go home during the holidays. I wouldn't go home at weekends. I'd only go home at holidays. So a lot of the time I spent away from home when I was younger. I say I went to I went to, I think it's 5 boarding schools and all, mainly due to my behaviour. I was disruptive behaviour. Wouldn't refuse to get taught at school, refused to stay in school. But I still learnt a lot. Going to boarding school was, at first, a wretch because I was torn away from my family. But over the years, I sort of like managed to deal with it. All the staff and the teachers used to look after us on the weekends, used to take us like outward bounds courses, camping, to the markets in Penkridge, in Wolverhampton. We used to go hiking up in the Lake District, come to Wales, camping. So they really pushed the boat out to give us a decent childhood. So I thank Whittaker for that.
And you had an experience actually in the boarding school back in the 80s?
Yeah, I believe I actually spoke to a ghost. Whittaker had the Grey Lady. Every place has got a Grey Lady or a lady in white or something. But Whittaker had a Grey Lady. Well, I'd gone to Highgate Common in Wolverhampton and we was playing army and I jumped into a ditch and I sliced open my knee. So I had to be taken to hospital and I had 13 stitches and my leg was all strapped up. Well, in Whittaker, they've got, it's like a medical wing, if you like. It's got a couple of medical beds and they class it as the sick bed. So I was put in there and I was lying in there and I couldn't sleep because you've got tapping and the pipes and the water dripping and I was down the bottom end of the corridor all by myself. So I was away from all the other kids and everything. Really, really scary. So I get the crutches and I get out of bed and I walk to the staff room. And in the staff room, there is a bed, a side cabinet and a chest of drawers. And on the side bed cabinet, there is an alarm clock with a light that, like an adjustable light on top of the alarm clock. That was facing the wall. So it was glowing up just that corner of the room. So I've gone to the night room and Mrs. Morris, she was on duty that night. What I thought was Mrs. Morris sitting on the end of the bed and I said, Miss, I can't sleep down in the sick bay. Can I go back to my dorm, please? And all he had was yes. So I goes back to my dorm and then about an hour later, Mrs. Morris is shining a torch in my face saying, there you are, I've been looking for you. Why did you come back to bed? So I turned around and said, Miss, I asked if I could go back to my dorm and you said yes. And she said, well, I've been downstairs for the last hour in the laundry doing all the laundry for tomorrow. So, and she was the only member of staff on duty that night. And I didn't speak, she said, I didn't speak to her. So who did I speak to? Now, the figure on the bed, I couldn't really make out because it was dark in the room apart from just the corner that was lit up. And she was sitting on the edge of the bed, facing the dressing table. And all I saw was like a dark silhouette. So didn't make out that it was Mrs. Morris. But automatically thought it was Mrs. Morris because she was the only one on duty. So it was like, Miss, can I go back to my dorm? Because I can't sleep. She says yes. So if I didn't speak to Mrs. Morris, who did I speak to?
Maybe it could have been a long past school nurse that still takes care of the pupils.
Yeah, well, apparently, there was a story that went around that it was an old matron nurse that died of natural causes at the top end of the building. And apparently, it's her ghost that walks the halls, keeping an eye on the children. That was a story. So I spoke to the headmaster the next day after Mrs. Morris said that she was downstairs on that. And he turned around to me and said, oh, yeah, it was probably the Grey Lady that you spoke to. I was only about 10 years old at the time, so that scared the hell out of me, thinking that I'd spoken to a ghost. But it's just Mrs. Morris was downstairs for an hour, so there was no other member of staff on duty. And there was no other member of staff that stayed in the school at night time. So I don't know who I spoke to and everything.
Well, you know, they say we are in death as we were in life.
Yeah. Well, I never really believed in ghosts until recently because the amount of stuff that I've been seeing on our page that we've got on our Uprising page, the amount of ghost stuff that's on there, the videos and everything that people have put up. And it's like, there's got to be something to it for the amount of evidence that backs it up. Nobody knows what a ghost is. people saying it's like a replay of somebody's life. It's just captured a couple of seconds of their life, and that's what we see. But there's different forms of like ghosts. So there's like, I don't know. I never really believed in ghosts until recently. I'm believing it a lot more. There is something. I don't know what it is, but there is something to it. There's a lot more hauntings. There's a lot more coming out recently. I don't know if it's because everyone's got phones now and everyone's got cameras and everyone's all on the bandwagon taking photos and everything on the internet now that looks genuine, that we can't argue with, that there is something to it. It's just that it's actually finding out what it is.
There is indeed many people out there which have had paranormal experiences. I mean, I've had plenty of people on this show. You know, a lot of yeah. times family members visiting, yeah. or they could be, you know, like you said, like a place memory, like a playback.
Well, I had bad experience when I was younger because living with my real dad and my stepmom, they managed to sign me out of one of the boarding schools that I was in, and I went to go and live with them for a while. Well, my stepmom would class herself as a spiritualist. So that's some of the things that she used to come out with. It put me off the paranormal because to me, it was just all bull. You know, she was making it up. She had my stepbrother sitting in a chair one day because he said he had a migraine. And then she said that she brought his spirit out feet first out the top of his head, hence why he had a migraine. And I'm sitting in the chair just shaking my head going, this is a load of bull. At 10 years old. So I think stuff like that has probably put me off over the years because there's like a lot of fakery out there and everything. But when you see the recent videos online, some of the kitchen cupboards opening like in front of people, or they're seeing like shadows in the houses and things like that. Now I'm starting to believe that there is something to it. I mean, I was always into the UFO side. I used to stay away from all the ghosts and the cryptids and that. But I'm starting to believe a lot more in not just UFOs, but other. I mean, I've always believed in there is a Bigfoot. There's too much evidence out there to say that there isn't now. Also, a lot of other cryptids like Mothman, the Rake, other cryptids like that. There seems to be a lot more evidence to say that these things exist. Obviously, until somebody actually catches one and puts it up on TV, then it's still going to be classed as, you know, it doesn't exist. But they said that about UFOs for 75 years, that it didn't exist, and then all of a sudden they exist. So I'm not going to put anything down now in future. If anybody says ghosts are real, then yeah, okay, fair enough, ghosts are real. I'm not going to argue with it anymore. I've seen a lot of lights in the sky. I've seen a lot of stuff in the sky. Lincolnshire, I used to live up in Grimsby. I spent 13 years up there. I worked on the docks for a while. I've been out on a fishing boat for a while. A lot of factory work up there. I used to do a lot of night shifts. I prefer to do night shifts than work during the day. Better conditions working nights. There's hardly anybody about, so you don't have to deal with a lot of people. Plus, a lot of the air's cleaner as well. There's hardly any traffic about, so it's a lot easier. So I prefer to work nights. There was a massive thunderstorm that had come in from the North Sea, and it was over a place called Immingham, where there's a massive oil refinery. And you could see the thundercloud because of all the lights from Immingham, which was all like these orangey lights. They was all shining up the cloud. So you could actually see this big thundercloud, and you could see the lightning going through it and everything. And then all these lights appear, all these balls of light. And they're all moving about independently. And they're going into the cloud. And then there's a big flash. And then the ball of light had come out of the cloud. Well, I stopped counting after about 50 lights. There was just, looked like fireflies, all of them, all flying about, going into the cloud, coming out of the clouds. Once they go into the cloud, there's a big flash. And then they come back out again. And they'd move as the thundercloud moved. I've had people turn around and say, oh, yeah, it's ball lightning, or it's this, that, and the other. And what I saw that night, it's not ball lightning. These were independent, white balls of light they was intelligent. They was moving under their own steam. And it wasn't just me. I'm standing on my doorstep at about 3, 4 o'clock in the morning having a cigarette. My landlord, he comes down. He sees them. Next door, they're standing on their doorstep. They're seeing them. So I rings the police to report it. The police put me through to a radar station that's near Immingham. They said they couldn't see anything on radar, but they took my name, address, the direction that I was facing, what I was seeing, how many lights I was seeing. Then about 2-3 weeks later, I get a letter telling me that due to interference, static electricity interference, they couldn't get a good reading on the cloud. So they couldn't give me any information. I've been trying to find the letter because it's amongst with all my stuff, because I've been trying to get it to put it out online to show people my report. As soon as I find it, I'm going to put it up. But also, there was a time when I was out in the North Sea on a fishing boat. I only did it for a while because I can't stand being out at sea. I get seasick really easy. But I saw lights under the sea, green, really like bright green light. I can't remember the name of the person I reported them to, but he got in contact with me recently to tell me that other people have been seeing green lights in the North Sea, under the North Sea. So that sort of gave me vindication what I was seeing and telling people.
When you say under the sea, so that it was at a depth, maybe?
It was just under the surface. Skipper, and I only knew him as Skipper, and never knew his actual name. Some of the other crew I did know, like John and Kevin, but I only knew the Skipper as Skipper. That's what we knew him at. I did about 3 weeks on and off fishing. We was out in the sea. It was only about, say, 5 miles off coast. So you could still see land and everything. And it was about, I'd say, 9 o'clock on the night, about 500 meters away, you could see the green glow in the water. It would move and then it'd stop and then it'd move again. Well, I said to Skipper, "What's that?" And he says, "Oh, I see these quite often." But he put it down to bioluminescence, that the illuminations that some creatures can produced by themselves.
That's right, bioluminescence.
Yeah, that's it. So he put it down to that. So I just, fair enough, it's that. And then I heard other reports from other fishermen saying that they'd seen green lights in the North Sea as well. They're quite big as well, the green lights. I'd say there was about 30, 40 feet across and in a circle. And he'd report it to say that he'd seen lights. Other sailors that say, yes, we've seen the same lights. And then I never thought about it. I've been living in Aberystwyth now for 20 years. I'd say I spent 13 years up in Grimsby. In that time, I'd never heard anything out about the green lights under the sea until recently, when other people online have been reporting seeing these green lights under the sea, which is exactly the same as what I was seeing 20 years ago.
Yeah, many reports come out of the North Sea. It can be a very mysterious place. I mean, when you were seeing these lights, you couldn't see any boats around.
Boats off in the distance, yeah. You get a lot of ships, like oil and gas and ships going up to the terminals up the Humber. So you see a lot of those out. They'll all be grouped together at the mouth of the Humber. They're not allowed to sail up the Humber. They have to wait for a pilot to come down. And then the pilot will sail the ship up the Humber because of the sandbanks and everything.
Right.
So at the mouth of the Humber, there was normally about 9-10 ships all just waiting. And there's a lot of little fishing vessels as well that all manoeuvre in and out of all these big ships because that's where all their fishing pots are and all the nets are and things like that. I'm not sure if any of those captains or sailors saw anything. They're up higher, they're up on the big ships, so they can see a lot better on the sea surface. But we never heard any reports from any of those. And these ships are coming from all over the world, like Russia, China, America, you know, all over. But we never heard any reports from any of them to say that there's green lights in the sea. But over the years, there's been a load of people that have seen that they've seen these lights in the North Sea and coming out of the North Sea as well.
I'm not too sure what they do fish up in the North Sea, but I know squid fishermen. Now, they use a green light to bring the squid to the surface, but yeah. They're on a boat and these lights are, they're not submerged, they're not in the water.
No.
If you see a squid fisherman, you know it's a fishing boat.
Yeah, you get squid boats. The main catch that we used to get was salmon, herring, halibut. Halibut was mainly off the Scottish coast. I never went halibut fishing. It's dangerous halibut fishing. So we used to go just bring in mackerel or crab, things like that. But I say I had to give it up because going out to sea, I was never sick. I'd just get the seasickness feeling. So I would have the mad headache. I'd feel like I want to be sick. The motion of the boat. Skipper always told me, keep your eye on the horizon. Don't look at the sea. Don't look at the sky. Just look on the horizon. And it does help with the seasickness. But for the first 3 days, I was inoperable. I couldn't do anything. And you're out until the hoppers are full. Once all the hoppers are full, then you can go back to shore, unload. Yeah, you get payment for your catch and then you stop back up and you go back out. So after 3 weeks of that, I thought, no, I can't do this anymore. I'd like to have carried on just to see what the lights were in the sea.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange.
There was a report that a lot of people in Grimsby saw a big red ball of light in the sky. Well, I've seen balls of light, red balls, white balls, blue balls, all around Lincolnshire area. We used to go off because to get the best place for stargazing, you'd go out in the middle of the field somewhere, away from all the lights. So we would go off into the middle of the field just so we could see all the stars and the amount of stuff that you could see going over, not just satellites or planes, but other objects that don't move like a plane, don't move like a satellite, darting all over the sky and everything. There is Northcotes up in Grimsby. I was lying in a back garden with one of my girlfriends. Both of us had a pair of binoculars. And you're looking through binoculars and you see more and more stars. Faint, stars way off in the distance. And we're both looking towards Orion. And both of us at the same time see this ball of light moving erratically all over the sky, just darting here, there and everywhere, and then shooting off. And both of us just stopped and went, oh, space, the final frontier, and then start laughing and then carry on stargazing. The next day, put reports coming in that people had seen this ball of light shooting across the sky and everything, and it's the same light that we saw. So I've had a lot of sightings. I go off on my own with my night vision camera and my 4K camera, go down to the cricket fields on the night, set everything up, and then just sit there for hours just watching the sky, seeing what I can catch. Disappointingly, around here, I haven't seen that much. I am in the middle of a case at the minute, though. Aberystwyth had a craft come down in 1983, and it clipped some trees and then shot off, and it left a lot of debris behind. And there's somebody that I know that has got pieces of this craft that came down in Aberystwyth. Well, Mark Ollie, he did a video, like a film, about the crash in Aberystwyth. They class it as the Aberystwyth Roswell. He did a documentary about it in 2011, filming the case, chatting to witnesses, going to the actual location. The debris was spread over four farmers' fields. The army turned up and they told everybody to shut up. They didn't see anything, keep quiet. Well, I was speaking to my local postie the other day, and he remembers it very, very well. So I've got his account now, and I'm trying to get Mark Holly and another team together so we can go around the village just outside Aberystwyth where the craft come down and interview them.
Be careful what you say about debris. There's a lot of people want to get their hands on items like that. And shows like this are also listened to by people which have an interest officially.
I won't give the name of the person that has this material, but what he did do was he took this material and he made 100 key fobs and put a little piece of this material in each key fob and then gave these key fobs out to people. Well, this person had the Ministry of Defence turn up, and he turned around and said to them, if this material disappears or you try and make me disappear, and you try, there was 100 key fobs out there with instructions that if anything happens to me, that these key fobs get tested. And I thought that was brilliant, because he's actually taking on the government to say, don't mess about with me. I've put out 100 of these key fobs with this material in it. So you try and take my material, it's still out there. And I thought that was brilliant.
It's always good to have insurance. It's always best when you know something like this is to keep it kind of close to your heart, tell very little people until you can get it tested. Because, you know, there's certain individuals which trawl the Facebook pages, they listen to podcasts, you know, they do listen for this one specific reason.
Well, apparently he did get it tested, and a lot of the material you can't get on Earth. So there's no isotopes in it, so we haven't got anything from any nuclear tests where you get all the radiation on metals today. They class it as dirty metal because it's all basically contaminated with the testing that they did with all nukes. They tested this metal and it didn't have any like nuclear isotopes in it. So they said that this can't be from Earth. And plus a lot of the metals itself are not found on Earth. So that gave it some like credibility that, yeah, this is material that's not from here.
If it can be, you know, with a scientific journal, that would be good.
Well, I've asked Mark Holly if he can contact this guy again. Both have been trying to contact him, but he hasn't been well, the guy that's got this material. Apparently he's still got it, but it's under lock and key and it's hidden away, which I don't blame him. He's, I say he's getting on a bit now, because this is 2011 that he did the interview, and he was getting on a bit then. So me and Mark was wondering if he was still about, and Mark said that he had heard that he was still about, but he wasn't given any more interviews. I think what he's been inundated with people trying to get contact with him and everything. There was a team in Swansea that managed to get an interview with him, the Swansea UFO group.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they managed to get an interview with him on camera and look at the material in his possession. It's a bit like that honeycomb where you've got a surface on one side, you've got the honeycomb in the middle, and then you've got another surface. It's that type of material. But the green material on the outside is done with it's a bit like green paint on the outside. But when they tested the paint, it's like anything that they've ever seen before.
Okay, I'll be interested in hearing about the findings of this.
Well, me and Mark have been trying to contact him to find out if there's any more that he can give us, but I'm going to have to get back in touch with Mark again and see if he can do something. But Mark Holly's, his interview about the story, about the Aberystwyth Roswell incident, that's what they class it as, can be found on online. He talked about the crash, he talks about the witnesses that he spoke to. He gives a detailed map area I've actually been to the village and I've spoken to a couple of people myself. A lot of them don't want to talk. a lot of them, as soon as you say, oh, the incident in 1983, you know, they turn the back, walk away. They don't want to know. I think a lot of people are still scared because they were threatened years ago not to say anything.
Yeah, it certainly is possible. I'll see if I can find a link to that, and I'll put it down in the description so our listeners can chase that up. Now, Chris, tell us about your dream from 2020.
Oh, yeah. I was asleep, and I woke up. I'd had a really, really strange dream. I woke up and I've got a book, little like notebook. And I opened the notebook and I quickly scribbled down my dream. And it was symbols. It was loads of these like symbols, writings and that. Well, I just jotted it down. No, not thinking, no, just writing everything down. And then on the group, somebody had put up a post saying that they'd have this writing and that. Well, when I saw the writing of this person, it was very, very similar to the writing that I'd done in my book. So I looked online, and sure enough, there's other people that have had similar writings, like in dreams and things. This is why I keep saying, I still think I'm being taken. And the writings, I reckon, is what I saw inside the craft. Because these writings, they're really weird. They're not like human writings, you know, like ABCs and that. These are squiggles and lines with little dots above them and little zigzags and little squills and everything. A little bit like hieroglyphics, if you like, but not. They're totally different. Yeah, I just woke up one night and it was like, whoa, that was a really, really strong, strange dream. So gets my book, gets my pen, jot it all down. And I can't fathom out how I managed to get these symbols, because they're not like your writings that you do every day. You know, these are just weird symbols. But when I've checked out on other pages online or what other writings and that, they're very, very similar. And I gave Dave Hodren a copy of the picture or the writings, and he tried to decipher them. Because other people have been trying to decipher them to try and find out what they are. He couldn't sort it out. He even went through a lot of other writings that other people have tried to figure out, and we couldn't sort that out either. Yeah, it was just weird.
Now, to our listeners, Dave Hodren is from the Birmingham UFO group, and Dave did Chris's case. So what I'll do is I'll leave a link to Chris's case below in the show notes, and then you can go and visit and check out these, what Chris has experienced, and also these strange symbols that he jotted down in his notebook. What do you remember of the dream you had that night?
I remember walking along the beach. I'm not sure if it's the beach here, another beach. In the dream, I was walking along the beach, and then these symbols just kept flashing in my head, and then I just woke up. But I woke up, I was sweating buckets. And it wasn't quite warm that night either. It was bloody cold. But I'd woke up, I was sweating buckets, and it was like, that was really, really strange. So I just grabbed my book, my pen, and just jotted down what I could remember. There was flashing light as well, I remember. But I don't know if that was in the dream or if the flashing light was after the dream, if you know what I mean. It was just strange because these symbols just kept flashing into my head and I'd just have to write them down. I just have to put it down. But then when I checked other people online that had similar experiences with these symbols, some of the symbols actually matched. Some of them was different. There was a couple that actually matched. So it was like, oh, okay, I'm having the same experience that other people are having.
If anyone has seen strange symbols in their dreams, go take a look at Chris's drawings and see if, you know, they look similar or you've seen them somewhere else maybe. I'm sure Chris would like some answers.
Yeah, I'd like a lot of answers to the experiences that I've had, especially when I was five. I really want to find out what happened when I was five. It stayed with me for all my life. I think about it all the time. I just want to know that if they did take me, what they did to me.
You had these experiences in the mid-70s. What advice would you have for people which have had experiences and, you know, like yourself, never shared them?
Share. It takes a lot of pressure off you if you share your experience. Don't worry about being ridiculed. Don't worry about people taking the mickey out of you. You believe, that's all that matters. Don't matter what anybody else says. At the end of the day, there was thousands and thousands of people that are going through exactly the same as what you are going through. So talk about it. Talk to your friends. Talk to your family. Go on sites. Go onto like Facebook, onto the groups. Join the groups. Chat to people. It does help, especially if you're having problems and you can't understand what's been going on. Talk about it. There is people that are willing to listen, that have been through exactly the same as what you're going through, and that they are there to help. I am absolutely over the moon with Dave, Nath, Luna. They've all helped me in their way, in like talking and understanding, not taking the mickey, not putting me down, not ridiculing me or anything. They actually listen and understand. So talk to people. Don't feel ashamed. Don't feel embarrassed. Don't feel that you're feeling stupid or anything. If you've got something that's really niggling at you, talk about it.
Wise words, Chris.
This is what we need to do, because there's a lot of people in silence. A lot of people see things and they put it down to, oh, I'm seeing things or I'm being stupid. No. You see something, report it to us. Report it to your friends, family, whatever. The best thing to do is talk about it, get it off your chest, get it out in the open, because believe me, there's thousands and thousands of people out there that are going through exactly the same as what you're going through. So don't feel ashamed, don't feel embarrassed, talk about it.
That's great, Chris.
Thanks, Nick.
Chris, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Cheers, Nick.
It's been wonderful speaking to you. Take care, Chris, okay, and we will speak soon.
Okay, Nick, you take care of me. Thank you for today.
Now you're more than welcome. Anytime.
All right.
Take care.
Will do. Cheers, mate.
That's all for today. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Chris for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.